This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your family.
Hey, open your Bibles to John chapter 14. And the turkey and ham is smelling good today. Don't be too distracted. Let's think about the word first. Oh, looky there. John chapter 14. So we have been in the Holy Spirit series for a few weeks, and if you've missed it, it's quite all right. We'll just jump you right in today. I do need to apologize. We've had some challenges with our sermon audio, so we don't have all of the weeks online. However, I have copious notes for you. There's a table right here in the back. I have last week's notes and the previous 2 weeks. There are some extra notes and lots of extra things, and if you have trouble sleeping at night, no, just kidding, break those out for your small group or take those home and study. There's a lot of great material there. Apologize that we don't have the audio, but you can take that to your small group or coffee or do whatever, or if you want to sit down with somebody and chat about it, read the scriptures. It's not too late to jump in. Hopefully, prayerfully, we're ready to record today so that you can have this whole series. But I want to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. And over the last few weeks, we've explored, we've discovered, we've just solidified that the Holy Spirit is God. And there's a lot of confusion in the world and a lot of confusion in the church about the person of the Holy Spirit. And when I say person of the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying he's a human, but I'm saying because he's God, he has all of the mind, all of the emotions, all of the will, all of everything that you would ascribe to God the Father or God the Son. God the Holy Spirit is just as much God and is just as much person. And it's incredibly important for you and I to understand that Holy Spirit is not a power. Holy Spirit's not a force. Holy Spirit is not yours. It's the Spirit of God who comes to live inside of us. And the implications of that are profound. And we're gonna explore a little bit more on that today. That brings us to John chapter 14, verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another advocate. King James says, helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Everybody say, in you. In you. John 16, verse 7. You can just flip over or just listen. We probably have it here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, same word, advocate, parakletos is the word in Greek. Oh, I did it. I rolled the R. Is the word. Did we record it? I hope we recorded that. The word in Greek, and it means more than just helper. English doesn't really always do it. It means advocate. And I'll explore that in just a minute, or helper, or one who stands on your behalf. If I do not go away, the advocate, the helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. See, it wasn't enough for God to come and dwell among us in person, in the person of Jesus. But Jesus, who God so loved the world that he gave his son, and Jesus came and gave everything for us. Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I go away, we're going to get closer. Now think about this implication for a second. Now when I grew up believing in God, and I grew up in church, and I'm not sure if I love God or love Jesus. I love the idea. I love Christmas for sure. Especially the presents. But I wouldn't probably have described God as being a personal God. Or words like intimacy probably would not have been in my vocabulary when it comes to God. My idea of God was more or less, he's the guy in heaven on a throne with a lightning bolt just waiting for me to mess up, and then or I could relate to Jesus, who was here a couple thousand years ago and came and did had an incredible life, and there's some really good movies made about it, and died on a cross, and so I could be forgiven of my sins, and I need lots of forgiveness, so that's a good thing, but still would not have described it as intimate. But if you think about God's redemptive plan, God created us, Genesis 1, God created us in his image to be his kids for relationship. Not so that he could rule over us, not so he could beat us up, not so he could just have someone to tell what to do. I was having a conversation with my son some time ago, and we were just talking about, you know, my role, and sometimes I need to tell him what to do. And I said, well, and I asked this really dumb question. Samuel, do you think that I just tell you what to do because I like to be bossy and tell you what to do? Be careful when you ask a question from a 10-year-old. But see, God did not create us just so that he could tell us what to do. He created us to have relationship. And the fact that Scripture says he created us to have dominion on this planet, to be his representatives in this place, to be his kids. And listen, every good father wants his kids to be part of the family business, to carry on the family name. But especially, every good parent wants their kids to be in relationship even after they get married and have grandkids and move on. And the heart of the Father is nonetheless. And so we know the story. He sent Jesus to reconcile us to him. But then Jesus said, we're going one step further. And this is after Jesus, this is the end of Jesus' life. He's just about to be crucified within a couple short days. Actually, within a day of this statement. And Jesus makes this statement, it's good that I go so the Father can come back. And if I could just give it the Joe paraphrase, because we're going to get closer. Because we're gonna become more intimate. It's not enough for God just to come and dwell among us in person, but he had to go so that he could come and be not just with us, but be in us. Everybody say in. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Listen, it doesn't get any closer than in. It doesn't get any more intimate than in. You know, so many of us live our lives, especially before Jesus, we live our lives like God is afar off or like God doesn't even exist. And God does the exact opposite. Not only does he desire for you to know him, but desire to have such a close relationship that he completely changes your entire makeup by coming and residing in you. And you know, I want to just say something before we move on. That is not just Christian theory. This is not just Christian philosophy. It's not a metaphor that the Spirit of God lives in the life of a Christian. It's not a metaphor. And so many times we preach this, we teach this, and we even talk about it like it's just some kind of idea. It's just like, oh, it sounds really good. Oh, yeah, I've got the Spirit in me. But then we just, that's it. It stops at just a mental ascension without actually realizing or recognizing or allowing the Spirit of God to have that much of our lives. Now I want to talk about the benefits of this, because I could easily go negative, because you know I could go Eeyore really easy. But I want to talk about the profound effects of this intimate God. First of all, it's not enough for him to just come and be with us. He wants to be in us. And that is the ultimate intimacy. See, we tend to get hung up that God doesn't show up or speak to our natural ears or eyes. Anybody ever get frustrated that you're like, you pray or you read and you just go, I'm just not sure if I can hear God? Just and so in our natural sense, we're like, come on, God, just talk. Just give me a booming voice from heaven and everything would be okay. Or I just want to see God. Jesus, if I could just see you, I would believe. Do you know Jesus said that you're blessed because you see, but blessed are those who believe without seeing. If I could paraphrase that, hear without hearing. But we get caught in our natural sense, but God doesn't want us just to be limited to our natural senses because, by the way, as we get older, vision fades. Hearing goes away. Right, Joseph? I am so glad. Listen to this. I'm so glad. The older I get in the Lord, the better I hear, even though my natural hearing could use some prosthetics. My natural eyes, something about my 40-something birthday, all of a sudden, my large print Bible is not large enough anymore. But you know the amazing thing about this God not just coming externally, but being on the inside, is that I'll be 100 years old and have to, you know, we don't have those things anymore. Fortunately, hopefully by then, it'll just be some Bluetooth thing where I just go, and I can hear everything probably better. But the amazing thing is that it doesn't require your natural senses to hear God. And sometimes we look at that and we could be discouraged and go, well, you know, if God just really, really cared, he would make it visible. He'd make it audible. But how much more personal is it to bypass your eyes and ears and speak to your heart? And see, for us humans, many times we don't even believe what we hear anyway. We don't believe what we see anyway. And so God needs to communicate with us in a way that we're going to receive, in a way that we're going to get it. Now, and we have a tendency to diminish that. In fact, many people go, oh, man, that's just so much harder. Man, if I could just feel with my natural senses, not realizing that intimate communication is so much deeper. For those of you that you know, a lot of us are just words are words and they don't really mean anything, but for the linguist or for the person who really is into literary works or really into words, sometimes words just aren't enough and we struggle to find words that really have full meaning. I struggle with English translation of scripture because the English language is lazy. And there's times where I read it and I just go, I wish I could say that better. I wish I could get that better. And Holy Spirit, because he's bypassing my natural eyes and ears, he's speaking in a language to my heart that English language just can't do justice. And sometimes there's words where I go, oh, I wish I had a word for that. Oh man, I wish I could describe that. Listen, church, that is the ultimate intimacy and it's the ultimate help. Here's the amazing thing. We don't have to wait for God to show up. He's here. In the life of a believer, you don't have to wait for Jesus to come into town. He's in you. He's in town. He's here. He shows up. And sometimes us charismaniac Pentecostal folks will say things like, come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. And listen, basically what we're saying is we want more. That's what we're saying. When I first became a pastor, I prayed that prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you. And a very kind, loving, believer, seasoned saint came up to me and said, Pastor, but isn't Jesus already inside of us? Isn't the Holy Spirit already here? I said, yes, yes, you're right. But I want more. I want more. But here's the amazing thing. The helper is already on scene. How much more personal does it get when the creator of the universe is with you when you go to work? Oh, I don't want to go to work today. At least the creator of the universe is in the car with you. At least he's there. At least he's present. At least even in your worst situation, in your worst circumstances, we don't have to wait for God to show up. And sometimes in our limited thinking, sometimes we act as though God is somehow afar off. And we're in the middle of crisis, we're in the middle of something going on, and we have to like wait for God to get here. Well, sometimes we do have to wait for things to change, but he's already here. The issue is not whether or not he shows up. The issue is that we're looking to the circumstance instead of looking to the circumstance changer. See, if I value the one that's here, then I'm not counting the cost of what I don't have. All of that just to say, church, what if we put value on Holy Spirit? Now, I know that's, okay, you do. We do. But what if we put value on Holy Spirit that he deserves? I mean, I love worship and I love doing music and I would love to do praise, and I'm the kind of person where I do an hour of praise songs, and you can say, thank you, Pastor, for not doing that. But I mean, I love praising. But you know, what if we lived a life of just praising and being grateful and thanking God, thanking the Holy Spirit for being with us everywhere we go? You see, here's what happens with thankfulness, and Thanksgiving is coming, and so I'll just give a quick little Thanksgiving blurb. We tend to count what we don't have when we're not counting what we do. You should write that down. That was good. It just came to me in that moment. See, we worry about what we don't have when we're not valuing what we do have. What if all I needed was the Spirit of the living God in my life? What if? That's a funny what if, isn't it? Because it is all I need. Because isn't he enough? Isn't God enough? Isn't he enough? Didn't Jesus do enough? Here's the thing that's amazing. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to go to the cross and die for my sins, but he also had to go away so that his Spirit, so the Spirit of God could come down and reside in me. Come on, that is like, that's the crescendo. Somebody read that this morning. That's like the crescendo of crescendos. It gets so much better. Salvation is awesome, but now I get God in my life. And sometimes we run around like Eeyore. Oh, bother. Life is so hard. It's so tough here in McCall, Idaho. Prettiest place on the planet. Probably just going to be cold today. And we live life as though we're just like, oh, if I could just have. You've got the Spirit of the living God inside of you. What else you want? Okay. This should stir something inside of you. It's been stirring inside of me all week. It's the ultimate help. It's the ultimate empowerment. See, God doesn't just work miracles in front of you. He works them through you now. Right. Rob and Kat just got back from the mission field. Did you get to see any miracles? Did God just do them in front of you, or did he do them through you? Come on. You know what? Sometimes I think about, man, it must have been good to hang out with Jesus and see him healing blind eyes and walking on water and doing all of that stuff. And that would have been amazing. But what's even more amazing is now he does it in you, through you. And now you don't have to be a spectator. You can be a participator. And see, I believe that so many of us, we don't live this way as though Holy Spirit is living and active and right here inside of us. And so we live from event to event, from service to service, from mission trip to mission trip, or we wait for someone else to do something, not realize we got the goods. Amen. You've got the goods if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Boom, the light's turned on. Now what was dead inside of you can come alive. And now Holy Spirit, and Jesus said he's going to come. He's going to come. John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but one's coming who's going to baptize you in fire and the Holy Spirit. You know what? Fire is not boring. Fire is not cold. Fire is not mundane. Fire's fire! It burns up everything. It creates heat. It causes chains. It makes things smoky. Fire does all sorts of stuff. But Jesus uses it in a sentence like fire, and then even better, Holy Spirit. Come on, I'm getting a little excited. I might have to get some Jodel here on you. Go climb up on this. No. If it's not the Holy Spirit, you better stay off. Okay, and here's what I really want to leave with you today is ultimate empowerment, but ultimate intercession. parakletos, apart from the normal King James definition, the word means, we say helper or comforter, which are all accurate, but it's one who leads, who pleads another cause as before a judge. A pleader, counsel for defense, one who pleads another cause with one, an intercessor. And today I want to leave with you the role of Holy Spirit. We talked about the comforter, we talked about the helper, but today I want to talk about Holy Spirit, the intercessor. Now, a lot of times, as soon as we say intercession, we think about some weird people that hang out in the prayer room. Not our intercessors. Other places. But to intercede means to interfere on behalf of someone else. To get involved on behalf of someone else. And see, sometimes we think about, we know that Jesus is our intercessor. We know that he interceded for us back in John. When Jesus was praying for us, he interceded then. And scripture says in 1 John that he is our advocate. He intercedes for us now. We know that Jesus paid the price for us. He was the propitiation for our sin, which means he paid the price. He satisfied God so that we could have salvation. So Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. And then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be our intercessor, but not just to be afar off and pray. And here's a picture I want you to get. We tend to think about Jesus hanging out with the Father, and he's saying, oh, yeah, hey, there's Billy and Catherine. Hey, yeah, Dad. Yeah, they're ours. They're with us. We tend to think of it like that way. Oh, they got a baby coming. Well, let's send some angels. And we think about intercession in that behalf. And listen, Jesus' intercession, I believe, is timeless. It's not like he goes, oh, something's happening. Jesus just himself is intercession for you. But then he sends Holy Spirit, the advocate, to intercede for you to God, but also in you and for you. Okay, let me just read my notes here. Jesus made and makes intercession for us. We have some scripture references. Jesus is our advocate, and he is a payment for our sin. He's our payment, our advocate, our intercessor, and intercessor with the Father. Now I want to read Romans 8. Go ahead and turn there. Well, actually, let's read it here, because this is the children's Bible. Easy to read version. Not that I think you need it. It helps me. So now anyone who is in Christ Jesus is not judged guilty. That is because in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that brings life made you free. It made you free from the law that brings sin and death. The law was without power because it was made weak by our sinful selves. But God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son to earth with the same human life that everyone else uses for sin. God sent him to be an offering to pay for sin. So God used a human life to destroy sin. He did this so that we could be right just as the law said we must be. Now we don't live following our sinful selves. We live following the Spirit. People who live following their sinful selves think only about what they want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about what the Spirit wants them to do. If your thinking is controlled by your sinful self, there is spiritual death. But if your thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. Why is this true? Because anyone whose thinking is controlled by their sinful self is against God. They refuse to obey God's law, and really, they are not able to obey it. Those who are ruled by their sinful selves cannot please God. But you, say but you, but me, are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit. If that Spirit of God really lives in you, but whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Your body will always be dead because of sin. But if Christ is in you, then the Spirit gives you life because Christ made you right with God. God raised Jesus from death, and if God's Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your bodies that die. Yes, God is the one who raised Christ from death, and he will raise you to life through his Spirit living in you. Sometimes I just like reading the children's Bible. So my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves. We must not live the way our sinful selves want. If you use your life to do what your sinful selves want, you will die spiritually. Come on, listen to this. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things you do with your body, you will have true life. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Spirit that we received is not a spirit that makes us slaves again and causes us to fear. The Spirit that we have makes us God's chosen children. And with that Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. And the Spirit himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure that we are God's children. If we are God's children, we will get the blessing God has for his people. He will give us all that he has given Christ. There's another part that says, but we must suffer like Christ suffered. Then we will be able to share in his glory. How we doing? You okay? So Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our intercessor to the Father for us and to us. And I want to give a couple things and then really hit something home and then we'll get to lunch. And the first is this. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible for you to have communication with God. See, we want to hear from God. We want to talk to God. We want to hear his voice. But if we don't want Holy Spirit, we're like saying, I want lunch, but I'm not willing to sit down at the table where the food is. See, God's intention to communicate with mankind in this day and age. See, the Father can speak audibly. The Father can speak through signs and wonders and all sorts of things, however he wants to. And Jesus came in the flesh and he spoke. And even after he ascended, went into heaven, he came back and visited folks a few times. But then Holy Spirit comes. And the way God speaks to us today on a normal basis is by Holy Spirit. Communication with God depends on, is only possible with the Holy Spirit. Well, but I just don't know what God's will is. Well, I just don't know if I can hear God. Well, how's your relationship with the one who speaks? How you doing? How you doing with Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit helps us to know how and what to communicate. This is another part of the intercessor part. Scripture says that in our weakness, he helps us when we don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit helps us with groans and utterances that our mind can't understand. Number three, the Holy Spirit intervenes on our behalf. And this is the part I really want to smack you upside the spirit with today, is this. Is the Holy Spirit as intercessor, his job is to interfere with your shortcomings and boneheaded plans. Mm-hmm. See, when I'm just being Joe, when I'm just being knucklehead, jarhead, country boy, when I'm just being myself, it is Holy Spirit's job to intercede on my behalf. That doesn't mean he's going to the Father and saying, oh, we got to pray, he's being a knucklehead. No, think of it like this. This is the picture. Parents, there's times when your role with your kids is, hey, honey, hey, yeah, let's put that down. And let's come on over here. And then there's other times where you go, honey, come on over here. And then there's other times where you get a caller, come on, come on. And then there's other times where you got to get an ear. Holy Spirit's job is to get your ear. See, the role of Holy Spirit as intercessor is to stop you in your tracks, to keep you from going down the dead-end road, to keep you doing that thing you shouldn't do, but also to help get you on the way you should go. See, if we reduce Holy Spirit to an experience, to an event, now I love the experience, but if we reduce his role in our lives to just a feel-good worship time and signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, if we reduce it to that, I'm not saying those are not good. I'm just saying Holy Spirit's role is so much bigger and so much more than just when we have to turn the hazard lights on in the car. So much bigger than when we get a doctor's report. And now, all of a sudden, I need the Holy Spirit. See, his role as intercessor is to intercede 24/7, 365 and a quarter. Half. Just all of it. His job is to intercede for us at all times, in all things. How does he intercede? He changes how we think and we behave. He intercedes by helping us know what's right and choose what's right. He turns the light on to truth. How many of you recognize when you accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit came and got you, all of a sudden, things you didn't get, you now get. All of a sudden, the light turned on. I remember reading scripture growing up, and I'm like, this is so confusing. And then after I got saved, and especially after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, like, whoa, man, I get this. I got it. All of a sudden, I can understand things I would never understand before. Well, the Bible just doesn't make sense. Well, this is because you're reading somebody else's mail. That was funny. You can laugh. He tells us what we need to know, 1 Corinthians 2:12, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. He interferes by influencing our works and encouraging us to live like him. Now, Galatians 5, I want to close on this one. I know, Billy, I'm going to get there. Galatians 5, you know the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Church. These are not a list of spiritual requirements. This is a list of spiritual fruit that is only produced by the Spirit. But let me just, I'm going to finish this message next week because there's another part that you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss next week because I'm going to talk about hearing his voice next week. But the role of the intercessor to intercede on your behalf means there needs to be active involvement in everything you do. See, God will only be included in what you include him in. I can include him in my ministry, but if I don't include him in my marriage is going to suck. I can include him in when I need money, but if I don't include him in how I handle my finances, then I get to be God of my own thing. But what if the creator of the universe, who comes and resides inside a believer, the Spirit of God, he is God. Not a God, he's God. He's the God. And his Spirit is inside of you. And what if he got included 24/7, 365? What if when I woke up in the morning, I acknowledged the fact that he was there, because he is? What if when I turned on my computer and decided to look at something, I acknowledged the fact that he was there? What if when I began to correct my son for him doing something that is frustrating me, what if I asked Holy Spirit first? Hey, would you get involved here? Hey, would you help me? Would you intercede on my behalf? What if before I opened my mouth with my wife, I remembered that I have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God? See, sometimes we read the fruit of the Spirit and we act like they're things that we can produce on our own. Or we act like they're things that will just magically happen. Listen, the fruit don't magically happen. They happen when you allow Holy Spirit to rule what you do. And eventually, he'll change what you think. And then eventually, your fruit will be consistent with his Spirit. Last night I was praying and just kind of mulling over this, and I just kind of had this thought. You know, we talk about putting on the armor of God. But what if we did an assessment? Okay, Lord, what I'm about to say, is that love? Lord, how I'm behaving, is it joy? Lord, the way I'm reacting to the situation, is it peace? Lord, the way I'm parenting, is it patience? That was good right there. Lord, the way I'm a friend, is it faithful? Am I being good? Am I being gentle? Is the way I'm handling my life self-control? Well, if the answer is no, then it's an indicator that I'm in charge and I'm not letting Holy Spirit intercede on my behalf. You see, sometimes we complicate it, and here's Billy, just come on up here so I'll shut up. But if I allowed Holy Spirit to be involved in every conversation, if I allowed Holy Spirit to be God in everything that I do, couldn't help but change. Anybody ever try to change yourself? Yeah, it's horrible. It doesn't work. Just get frustrated. But if I allow the Spirit of God to be the Spirit of God in my life, now suddenly the striving and the working and the trying, here's the thing. I don't have to intercede on my behalf. The intercessor is living in me to intercede for me.
Thank you for listening to this week's word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.